Hello, and welcome once again to 401 Stories. My name's Joe. If you are a longtime listener, then you will be familiar with the concept of this month's episode, which is the Story Laboratory. I did one a few months ago where I went over the first two episodes and the process behind writing the stories and recording and some outtakes and so on and so forth, and turned out to be a really popular episode, so I'm going to do it again. So, here we go with Story Laboratory number 2. We're going to be covering the third and fourth episode today. So, without any further ado, here we go. Welcome to 401 Stories. Episode number 3, Lila Prescott and the High Diving Board. Once upon a time, it was summertime. I was 10 years old, I could drink my weight in Dell's frozen lemonade without getting a brain freeze, and I loved. Lila Prescott and the High Diving Board is the first 100% original story that I've ever written for a live performance. I'd gotten onto the Rhode Island Library's summer reading program, and I had two-thirds of my show all set. And I needed a third story. And I actually just kind of threw the Lila Prescott story together in my car on the way to the first gig of that summer. because I was the master procrastinator. I've gotten much better, says the guy who is recording this the day before the podcast is going to be released. But essentially, I wanted it to be kind of a mix of a modern tall tale and stand-up comedy for adolescents. And the reason for the weird stream of consciousness form that this story took, where everything is out of order and I keep talking to the audience and saying, oh wait, I forgot about this character, is because the first time I performed it, I actually did keep forgetting plot points. Seemed to work really well. It was an interesting style, and so I just ran with it. And over the course of the summer, I told the story again and again, and it became more crystallized, and the parts that got really good reactions from the audience, I kept. The parts that didn't, I jettisoned. And by the end of the summer, I ended up with a story that has just become one of my favorite stories to perform live and my kind of go-to back pocket story. And actually, I mean, this is pretty early on into the episode, but this brings us to this month's mailbag.
Mailbag!
And Charlotte from Cranston, Rhode Island, asks, well, kind of asks and kind of accuses. I saw you do that diving board story, and you said it was a true story. I know you made up some of it. How much is real and how much is fake? Thanks, Charlotte. That's a question that I do get often, actually pretty much every time I do a performance that includes one of my stories that purport to be true, including Lila Prescott and the High Diving Board. I could get into my whole explanation that no story is fake, but that's dodging the question and that's being obnoxious, so I'm going to come correct. This story is almost entirely fabricated. It's allegedly based on facts, but in all honesty, the only factual things that show up in this story is that I was a target by bullies, and I occasionally had crippling crushes on cute girls. And at my neighborhood pool, there was a really, really high diving board that I was at first kind of afraid to go off of. There you go. That's it. I made it up. Sorry, Charlotte. Or maybe you're welcome, Charlotte. All right, so I'd already done the first two episodes of 401 Stories, and at the outset, I was putting them out every other week instead of every month. So I had already planned out what I was going to be doing for the next three episodes, but all of them had involved some guest stars, and I just couldn't schedule any of them in time for the release. So I had to quickly throw together an episode. I went to Old Reliable, good old Lila Prescott. I figured it would be a nice, quick, easy recording. I've told it a million times. I didn't have to write down the script. I was going to do it all in one take. I wasn't going to record all the voice characters separately like I do with other stories. Boom. Easy peasy. And it was terrible. It was really, really bad. It was slow, and there were all these long gaps from where I'm used to filling things with long, like kind of slow motion facial expressions that when you're doing a podcast is just dead air. It was terrible. So for the first time in the story's over 15-year life, I actually wrote it down. It was something that I should have done years ago because, I don't know, a different part of my brain works when I'm writing than when I'm performing. And that part of my brain came up with a couple new lines for this old story and that I've since incorporated into the live version. One hot summer day, I was hanging out at the pool with my friend Andy. And Andy hadn't had a dangerous idea in about a week, so I should have seen this coming. He turned to me and he said, Hey, Joe! Now, Andy is the only character that I've ever created where I've received requests to write a spinoff or another story involving him. I don't know, kids really relate well to Andy. And I've promised some kids that this is not the last we've seen of Andy. And there's the one moment where Andy is running through the kind of the telephone game of the trail of this rumor that Lila Prescott was moving and runs through all these different names. But I had to write it out first because when I tried to just improv it, it went off the rails.
I heard from Brian who, huh? What? No. I, okay, listen, it's a rumor, but it's 100% true. You see, I heard from Brian who heard from Psycho Patrick who heard from Nate the Snake, who heard from El Queso, who heard from Elizabeth Winchester, who heard from Louis the Mallet, who heard from JT, who heard from Tina Blastoff.
Although I really think I need to write something with Tina Blastoff. I think Tina Blastoff is an incredible name. And yeah, I at one point was just recording a whole bunch of Andy laughing, and I legitimately kind of blew out my throat. Oh God. Now, Lila, in the story, only has a couple of lines, and I've made it a point to not personally do any female voices. I have enough friends I can outsource. And, unfortunately, I did not have enough time to get any of my friends to do the voice of Lila Prescott, so I suckered my poor wife into doing it.
I heard Ivan say, "Pretty girl, you look very pretty today, your eyes... intense, like eyes of snake."
And she responded,
"Thanks, Ivan."
And you can hear the annoyance in her voice. Listen to how she's, like, barely humoring me. And probably would just prefer to punch me in the stomach. Because she had just gotten home from working a 14-hour day. And all she wanted was to eat something and take a shower. And she walked through the door and I stuck a microphone in her face.
"Thanks, Ivan."
And it worked out well because, I mean, in it, Lila's just being nice to Ivan and humoring him, which is exactly what my lovely wife, Deborah, was doing for me.
"Thanks, Ivan."
In another guest star news, I brought my digital recorder to a gig, and I got all the kids in the audience to play the neighborhood kids that try
unsuccessfully, to convince the infamous Scrabbles O'Connor to not jump off the high diving board. And it sounded great. It sounded awesome. I really enjoyed the way that it came out, but I felt that it just needed a little more depth and there needed to be some grown-up voices in there. So I went and I recorded a few.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Don't do it. 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 Oh, please, God, no. No, man, no. 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 No, man, no. 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 You kidding me, man? Are you kidding me right now?
Don't do it. Don't do it. Please don't do it.
Hey, forget about it. What do you think you're doing over here? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
All right, so, yeah, I don't know. Some of the characters in there are very funny to me, but they're terrible. They're awful characters. And then it starts to really go off the rails. And there's a little guest appearance by John Leaf, with which, I don't know, maybe about a half a dozen people listening to this will get this reference. And then it just gets out of control.
Slow count! Crikey! Oh, please, Jesus, don't do it.
This is wicked weird.
No, don't do it! Don't do it!
Don't jump, man. Do not jump. I swear to God, do not jump.
All right, actually, I want to hear that guy again.
Don't jump, man. Do not jump. I swear to God, do not jump.
Thanks, Ivan.
If you do end up listening to this story again, see if you could pick out any of these guys in that din. You really can't hear them very well, but they're all in there.
So, yeah, that's Lila Prescott. And now, on to the next story.
Welcome to 401 Stories. Episode number 4. Who's Topinghi? Once upon a time, there was a stepfather. Now, some storytellers might go so far as to call him an evil stepfather.
So I first read the original version of the Haitian folktale, I'm Topinghi, She's Topinghi, We're Topinghi Too, in a book called Fearless Girls, Wise Women, and Beloved Sisters, which is a collection of folktales and fairy tales edited by Kathleen Reagan. And I think the book is awesome. I really enjoyed it, and I really enjoyed that story. Now, the original version, as opposed to the one that was performed on 401 Stories, Topinghi is the main character. She's the one who ends up, coming up with the plan when her evil stepmother plots to sell her. It's Topinghi who overhears the plot and gets all the other girls in the village to dress up like her in order to confuse the buyer. And it was this awesome story that really resonated with me about the weak and oppressed. And, you know, in this case, both female and child in this culture were weak and oppressed, about them banding together and using unity and smarts to defeat a much more powerful opponent. So I filed it away in my brain and promptly forgot it. Now, fast forward about a year, and I was listening to a storyteller by the name of Diane Wolkstein on the podcast The Art of Storytelling with Brother Wolf. And she told that story. She told Topinghi. And she had just injected this really frenetic energy and humor into it without really changing almost anything about the story. Just with her performance, she added so much life and kind of musicality to it. And I just couldn't get the story out of my head after hearing her do it. And that is the mark of a brilliant storyteller, when you already know the story, you've already read the story, but their version just hammers it in there like a humongous splinter just embedded in my brain. So I tossed it around in my head for several days, and I switched up some things. The first and most major change that I made was I ended up telling the story from the point of view of the villains, following the exploits of the evil stepfather and the witch, rather than Topinghi herself. And yes, I changed it to an evil stepfather, because A, come on, there are more than enough evil stepmothers in fairy tales. Stepfather's got to get in on that action. And B, I wanted to play the character. So, selfish reasons. You know, so following the story just how it unravels without actually knowing the secret plan of having all of the kids dress exactly alike. It injected this little bit of mystery and some strange, almost kind of surreal humor into it. That and kind of following the adults around allowed me to paint the evil stepfather as a buffoon to be able to inject some more laughs into it. And aside from the change of the point of view, the biggest change I made was who was actually the hero. The original version, it's Dipingi. She's the one who uses her wits and comes up with this awesome plan and everyone plays along. But I changed it in this version. It's more the community. And it's all of the children of the mines, who saw Dipingi in danger, and they banded together to protect her. And it doesn't matter who came up with the plan. It really doesn't. It matters that the plan existed, and it matters that everybody did their part, and that there was no weak link, that they were an impassable wall between Dipingi and a terrible fate. You know, I really wanted to put that sense of community and that sense of responsibility towards helping those who really can't help themselves, to make that the main drive of the story, as opposed to it being one person who was the hero. And also, a little bit selfishly, it allowed me to cast my one-year-old as Dipingi. I mean, her only lines were daddy, which thankfully she was saying at that point, and no, which she was unthankfully saying a lot at that point. So honestly, she was more interested in playing with the microphone than actually speaking into it.
No, 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 no.
No, no, no.
No, no.
No, no, no. Say no, 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 no.
No, no, no.
No, no, no. Say no. No. No, no, no.
No, no, no. No, no, no.
In other casting news, I also cast my mother as the witch, making this episode feature three generations of Ham. My mother was actually, you know, it wasn't just that I was like, hey, Mom, do this. You know, she has a background in acting. She was a stage actor for many years. In fact, I have some very, very early memories of, instead of being babysat, of just sitting in an empty audience as a young child while her Shakespearean troupe rehearsed A Midsummer Night's Dream and Twelfth Night. I owe some of my performing genes from her, and she's an incredibly talented woman. And even though she hasn't been in a play in many years, she absolutely crushed it and just owned the role. And I feel bad that this episode is pretty far and away the worst as far as just audio quality. Because, I don't know, my mom's performance deserves better. But a lot of that has to do with the performances that really inject so much personality into this story. And that's the performances of all the little kids. the rest of the cast was actually the preschool class at London Bridge Learning Academy in East Greenwich, Rhode Island, where my daughter has been going a couple days a week since she was an infant. I go there every week and do story time, and every kid there knows me as Mr. Joe. So Miss Janet was kind enough to let me take my mic and my digital recorder there 1 week, and had a whole bunch of the kids run some lines, you know, and then I edited together some of the best takes. And by best takes, I mean the ones where you don't hear a train in the background or other children whiling out and acting crazy. And I mean, you know, good luck telling a room full of children aged 1 to 4 to be quiet for 20 minutes. But anyways, here are some of the raw lines. First, my buddy Davian. Davian is a really sweet kid. He's since graduated into kindergarten, and he just was one of my little buddies and was always really sweet with my daughter, and he's a natural born ham. So here's Davian.
I want you to lean in very closer, almost smooching that. Lean in very close. Now, the first thing I want you to do is I want you to say what your real name is. What's your name?
Davian Rosario.
Very good. Okay, Davian, say, I'm Topinky.
I'm Topinky.
Oh, lean into the microphone. Say, I'm
Topinky. I'm Topinky.
Say, I'm Topinky.
I'm Topinky.
Say, I'm Topinky.
I'm Topinky.
Say,
she's Topinky.
She's Topinky.
She's Topinky.
She's Topinky.
She's Topinky.
She's Topinky.
Say, he's Topinky.
Who's Topinky?
He's Topinky.
He's Topinky.
That guy is Topinky.
That guy is Topinky.
That's the Topinky train, I think. Now, say no.
No.
Say no.
No.
Say no.
No.
Say no way, pal.
No way, pal.
All right. And now, one of the things that some children had difficulty with was with the actual name, as we'll hear here with my buddy Carter.
They're Topinky too.
They're Topinky too.
Say, they're Topinky too.
They're it's hard.
I know, it's very hard, and you guys are all doing an awesome, awesome job.
They're Topinky too.
And some of the kids, as well could be expected, were a little bit shy, like my buddy Grace here.
Can you say your name, your real name, into the microphone?
Grace.
What was your name?
Grace.
I know. Can you say it into the microphone? Talk right to the microphone. Say, I'm Grace.
I'm Grace.
Very good, Grace. So, Grace, just repeat after me. I'm Topinky.
I'm Topinky.
Okay. Well, I think that is it for now for this episode. Thanks again for joining me.
Thanks, Ivan.
And don't forget, first of every month, 401 Stories, straight to your device from iTunes or Stitcher. You can visit me, 401stories.com, Facebook, /401stories. I'm 401 Stories on Twitter and Instagram. So, yeah, thank you again. And if you are listening and you do enjoy the show, I'm only making this plea and this plug on Story Laboratory episodes, not on the normal episodes. Go ahead and head to iTunes, give me a review, give me some stars, and give me that virtual high five. It'll help people find the podcast if you enjoy it. And honestly, if you've listened to me babble on for a half an hour, I can only assume you enjoy it. So thank you again very much. Take care. I sincerely hope you enjoyed today's stories about stories. Peace.
Hush now, creature, dry your eyes. I know a place where a body can hide. Oh, I know a place where a body can hide. Last time I saw you, our table was bare. If you hurry and join me, I will lead you there. Oh, sink beneath the water, sink into the deep. In a pond just off the road that feeds this muddy creek. Oh, in a pond just off the road.